Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, across from the historic Chicago Theater, you are listening to Carmen and Yurko on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Week. It's Carmen and Yurk live in our Old National Bank State Street studios. We're up on Twitch today and every day, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app. Join the chat there. Watch the show. We roll into the Final Four after yesterday's Elite Eight games were completed. We have a 9 seed, 2 5 seeds, and a 4 seed. And I saw Field Yates and others tweeting that it's the first time in tournament history, Yurk, that neither a 1, 2, or 3 seed will make the final weekend. How about that? Not a single 1, 2, or 3 seed. Your highest remaining seed looks to be the best team left. I think that's clear to anybody that's watched this tournament so far. UConn is just trucking people. UConn is a 4 seed, favorite to win it at this point, a 5.5-point favorite on Saturday. And they are obviously a blue blood. I mean, they've won 4 national titles since 1999. This, I believe, this year since 1990 was their, I think, their 15th or 16th Sweet 16. UConn, to me, definitely qualifies as a blue blood. But sure, that's the only thing close.
Yeah.
And you guys predicted this. A lot of you people, the you guys that love college hoops kept saying, this one's truly wide open. And I've heard that before. And then somehow
Kansas,
North Carolina and Kentucky make the Final Four, but not this year.
But you'll get a George Washington in there. George Mason. Thank you. George Mason. You'll get a Bradley in there. You know, you'll get somebody that comes in and kind of upsets the apple cart as a something coming in to surprise people in the Final Four. But never.
Not like this.
Never this.
Never
this. And if you look at it, what did UConn do? They won by 24. They won by 15. They won by 28. You know, I mean,
they've barely broken a sweat.
Yeah, they won by 23. And in the other one, I mean, that's just destroying people and rolling over people. That's what they're doing.
That's what they've done.
Yeah.
I didn't know up until like 3 weeks ago that they were this good. Because again, in November and December, I'm just not watching anymore.
You don't care.
I don't have as much of an interest.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind this. I actually enjoy it. And for all those that said NIL was going to make the powerful teams more powerful, I don't think so. I don't think that's happened.
Charles Barkley just said that.
Yeah.
Do you think he's crazy?
He said that it's going to make those teams more powerful.
You want me to play it real quick?
Yeah, play it real
quick. Barkley was saying that the NIL thing and that paying players is bad for college athletics. This was last night on a 60-minute special they did on Barkley coming out of the tournament and everything. He's obviously a prominent feature of that now because of the TNT and the CBS tie-in.
Sure.
This was Barkley on the CBS on 60 Minutes on the profile they did on him last night on NIL.
It's a travesty and a disgrace. I'm so mad now how we can mess up something that's so beautiful.
How do we mess it up?
We can't pay all these players. In the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to have 25 schools that's going to dominate the sports because they can afford players. And these schools who can't afford or won't pay players are going to be irrelevant.
You don't necessarily agree with that.
No. I think this is proof in the pudding right here. I think the proof is right here. Miami, Florida had a guy from Kansas State, right, that came over and played with them, right? KSU was in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight there, I say. I can't remember exactly how far KSU was. What's going to happen?
Kansas State was in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, they're going to start poaching each other's players is what's going to end up happening.
Is that already kind of happening?
Yes, and then you're going to have second-year players that were promised playing time that aren't getting playing time. There's new freshmen coming in. Right. And they're going to say, well, I can get a better deal someplace else and I'm going to go someplace else. And that's going to make those other teams a little bit stronger. Not only that, it's going to give them veteran players to make them stronger.
Mm.
You know, guys that are 22, 21, a little bit better than 18, 19 year old freshmen, even if those 18, 19 year old freshmen have some talent. No, I don't think that at all. I think that this is dispersing the talent. I'll give you perfect examples. There's guys that I went to school with that went to big schools, big colleges, never played. Those are the guys after 2-3 years that would probably say, hey, I'm going to get the hell out of here. I got 2 more years of eligibility. I don't have to sit out a year. I can go someplace and play. It's happened at the 1AA players where you take all the disgruntled big schools, the Power Five conference guys, those that went to the Power Five and didn't play, and they ended up coming back down to 1AA levels, the non-football championship series, and those teams started to become popular. Youngstown State did it all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Youngstown State used to do it with disgruntled Ohio State players.
When Trestle was there?
Yes, and disgruntled MAC players.
Mm.
Okay, and when Trestle was at Youngstown State.
That's what I mean.
With
when,
the Penguins,
that's what
yeah.
I mean. When he was at Youngstown State.
Because he was at both schools.
Well, that's true.
Yes. I meant when he was there, yeah. He built them like into that powerhouse. Was
Eastern
that what he was
Kentucky
doing?
Eastern Kentucky used to do that. Eastern Kentucky used to raid Division One. Find you an unhappy player or somebody that got in trouble, they'd bring him down to Eastern Kentucky, and Eastern Kentucky is one of the powers back in our day.
Hmm.
That's what it is. Now you're going to have that, and you're going to have financial incentive to bring a guy over. Hey, they don't want to pay you, we'll pay you. Come on over here. You'll be a ball player for us.
I have two questions for you and for the audience on the tournament. I know your answer to the first one.
Yeah.
Do you like this sort of chaos? Do you like the fact that there's only one blue blood? I know
I
you like it.
I love the chaos.
And I want to know if people agree. Do they like what they've seen? Are they cool with FAU, who a lot of people probably couldn't tell you where FAU is?
I had to ask this morning. Yeah, Boca Raton.
It's in Boca Raton.
Yeah.
Where like the Seinfelds and the Costanzas go to retire.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're going down to Boca. You think you're going to keep me out of Del Boca Vista? Most people don't know where FAU is. This is the best the program's ever done, obviously. Although the team's pretty scrappy and pretty good.
This is how Gonzaga became a blue blood.
Yeah, right? They've just been doing it for 25 years.
Right, but Gonzaga became a blue blood because they got into the tournament the first time.
Yeah.
So Florida Atlantic may become a blue blood 20 years from now.
Can you imagine?
Because they keep going to the tournament and they keep playing well.
I think Gonzaga's a complete outlier, to be honest. But
right.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe you're
I'll
right.
I'll tell you why. Because Butler looked like Butler was going to be a Gonzaga, and then Butler found a way to disappear and go back into the woodwork.
Loyola.
Yes.
Butler. I mean, it's hard.
Yes.
FAU, probably the same
right.
thing. Gonzaga's a marvel.
No, I'd give Loyola a better chance now if Porter Moser was still there with the NIL in the city of Chicago and with Loyola grads. You know, and the success that the Loyola grads have had to be able to pump a little liquid infusion
right
into the system to maybe get better players and more players.
Yeah, there's some influential Loyola
right.
donors. You're right about
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely there are.
All right, so I know your answer to the first question, and that's open to the audience.
Yeah, Loyola
if they're
doesn't
enjoying
have a
this.
Football team to
no.
divvy up money with.
They do not.
Loyola University in Chicago,
yep.
done correctly, can buy whatever athletes they want from across the country if they choose so to
if
do.
If they so choose.
If they so choose to do.
You're 100% right on that, my friend. 312-332-3776. The other question that everybody's sort of buzzing about and talking about, and it was happening late in the day yesterday as the play happened, it continued into the early morning hours today, was that a foul or not at the end of the Creighton-San Diego State game? I mean, I think it's a foul. I think we all know that. Now we get into this whole, like, nuance of, well, can you call it in that moment? How do you view this? Is a foul, or would you have preferred that the refs in that moment in the tie game to go to the Final Four just swallow their whistles, or in particular,
for me, it was easy.
Official.
A foul's a foul.
Foul's a foul.
Was it a foul? Yes. Did he have his hand on him? Yes. Was he grabbing a hold of the jersey? Yeah. Yes. Was he affecting his shot? Yes. They're all yeses. Yes. Call the damn foul. If it's a foul in the first minute of the game, it's a foul in the final minute of the game, period.
Some people are saying, well, that wasn't a foul all game. They blew the whistle 11 times for fouls all game. Like, why now? I don't know how to answer that. We can't get in the mind of the official. What made him blow the whistle there? Why was it a foul all of a sudden when maybe it wasn't earlier in the game? It is a foul. I think this goes back to the play in the Super Bowl. Was that a flag? Yeah. That's a foul.
That's a foul.
And I don't know that a ref should be expected in the moment to say, no, I'm just going to swallow it here because of what's on the line. I think they're looking at the play as it happens, seeing what was pretty evident, a guy like Yurko said, pushing and then grabbing onto a jersey, sort of preventing a player from elevating, you know, off the shot that he wanted. Like, is that a foul? Yeah, that's a foul.
That's a foul.
I don't know how you tell an official or anybody else in that moment, no, because there's 10 seconds left or 4 seconds, whatever the hell it was at that point, and the Final Four is on the line, we're not going to call it. I don't know how you do that. I don't think you can.
I don't think you can either.
312-332-3776 is the number. Both those questions on the table. Did you hate the way to see that game ended? Do you like or dislike what we have now with a little bit more chaos than we're used to seeing? and with non-traditionals, other than UConn, certainly non-traditionals, non-blue bloods in the Final Four in Houston this weekend. There are no one seeds left. There are no two seeds left. There are no three seeds left. Taylor is in Hyde Park on the south side. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got a lot of questions, but I'll be quick and brief. Okay, first of all, the NCAA is about coaches. The NBA is about players. This year is the worst Final Four I think I've ever seen in my life, from the refereeing all the way to there really are no players to watch for the next level. And so for me, being an NBA fan,
that's interesting.
I just don't like the fact that I have no player to actually root for to say, hey, he would be a lottery pick or a guaranteed, you know, top five pick. And then also, too, about Gonzaga. Remember, Gonzaga and Mark Few, they have players. A lot of NBA players have gone to Gonzaga.
Oh, sure.
These other schools, we don't know any of these guys, right? So I think Gonzaga is an outlier because they actually have real players who made the next level and have played well in the next level. And so I think that's the outlier there. As far as players being paid, players have been paid since day one. So I don't know what Chuck is talking about. It hasn't changed the dynamics now. The difference is that those players got paid by the school themselves, right? Now they're getting paid by boosters or by other programs outside of the school. When you see movies like Blue Chips, I mean, this has been happening since the beginning of time. So I'm with Yurko. I don't see it affecting the Blue Bloods in any way or shape or form, in any way possible. Then my last comment quickly, Yurk, have you seen the Champions League, the last remaining teams? Why are there three Italian teams in one division? On one side of the bracket.
Well, it's a random draw.
Thanks, Taylor.
It's a random draw.
The final four of the Champions League is
no,
out here?
I think it's the final eight of the Champions League.
Oh, the final
League.
Eight. I'm
final
sorry.
Eight of the Champions League, and three of the Italian teams are on one side.
I see. But that's totally random.
At some point, I think what happens is they quit drawing. Am I right? Did they get to the final eight, and if that way they play it in, there's not a redraw? So, yeah, they go to the final eight, and there's no redraw after this. Now they're going to play it in as the tournament. So I believe Inter Milan, I believe, is it Lazio? And another Italian, AC Milan maybe, are in the in the final eight of the tournament and are all stacked up next to each other. So that's the answer to that question, I believe.
Interesting point about, like, are there any NBA quality level players that we can watch without the traditional blue bloods in there? That's sort of an interesting take on it, if that's your thing. If you're looking for the guys that are going to excite you on Final Four weekend that will be playing at the next level, we might not have as many of those guys. I was sort of bummed that Noel wasn't going to make it because he's been the player of the tournament. I mean, as great as UConn has looked and that Hawkins kid's been awesome, they look fantastic. Marquise Noel's been the story of the tournament, right, Yurk? I mean, even yesterday, he was awesome. I mean, he was just so much fun to watch. That would have been great to get another weekend out of him. The guard from K-State.
They had his brother mic'd in the stands.
I saw that.
Did you see that? Yes. Yeah, they had his brother mic'd in the stands.
The kid was just putting on a show every game. I loved it. So, yeah, that would have been nice, but...
Then they busted his chops because he was barking at the free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Everybody barks at the free throw shooter. You got the fans screaming. Doesn't make a difference if somebody's barking behind you.
Oh,
as a free throw shooter, you come to understand exactly what's happening and what's not happening.
I mean, players do that all the time. They try to get, they'll casually drop little insults or say things as guys are going to shoot free throws to try to get into their head, you know?
Yes.
Scottie Pippen famously did it to Karl Malone. Remember, wasn't it Scottie that delivered the mailman doesn't deliver on Sunday, right? I mean, you're trying to get in Malone. Come on, give me a break.
That's what people do?
Yeah, that's nonsense. 312-332-3776. That's the number. Ring us up. Lots to talk about today, the tournament. Big news in the NFL this morning. One of the biggest stars and one of the marquee names has indeed requested a trade. We will talk about that. It's finally here. The week of opening day is later this week. We'll give you details on how you can hang with us on the north side for the Cubs home opener on Thursday. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Follow the show on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Yurko, just to clean something up from the last segment, Taylor was right. You were right. The three Serie A teams are on the same side. Milan plays Napoli, and Inter plays Benfica.
That's it, Napoli.
And then on the other side, it's Real versus Chelsea and Man City versus Bayern Munich. So there are the final eight.
Bayern Munchen fired their coach, too, by the way.
Bayern Munchen fired their coach?
Yes, they fired their coach, and they hired Thomas Tuchel.
Of course they did. Why wouldn't you hire a Thomas Tuchel if you could?
And they did. The guy that Chelsea fired earlier in the year.
God, it all comes full circle.
See how it goes?
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of firings happening over in Europe, Carm.
So there could be the possibility of Bayern and Chelsea playing each other, right? Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Chelsea has no chance in hell
of beating Real Madrid. Gotcha.
No.
All right. I trust you, my friend.
They've been off form recently. They've had a couple victories in a tie, but not exactly flowing with the goals over with Chelsea right now.
All right.
They bought a ton of talent. But they're not together yet. They're not playing as a team yet.
I put my faith in you, good man, when it comes to knowing what
and
I need to know about
soccer. Real's lost a couple times to Barcelona. Real's lost to Barcelona. So they're not competing in La Liga. They're like in second or third place. Doesn't matter. Because they're going to win the Champions League for the 15th time.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what 15 is. You know, La Decima was 10. They won 14. La Quince. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Once, doce, trece, catorce, quince, right?
La quince. Yeah, that's 15. What they're going after now.
I can count to 100 in Spanish, I'll have you know, Yurko. The weekend was better for me in terms of college basketball. Some of that I owe a big thank you to Viking Scott, our good friend, who stopped by with many of our other wonderful fans to the anniversary show and the anniversary party at House of Blues. On Friday, Scotty was kind enough to give me a few winners, and just I think I handicapped a few of my own a little bit better. We did okay in the odds couple. Scotty gave me a few good picks.
How about
so
the
it was
horsies?
A much better weekend.
How about the horsies with Jim Miller?
You know,
what did Jim have to say with the horsies? They had a couple of big races.
We had a bunch.
The Jeff Ruby Stakes was this weekend, and the Louisiana Derby. Two Phils ended up winning the one race. You know that? The local Chicago connections here.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, two Phils. Ended up winning one of those races, getting 100
Jim
points.
Jim liked two Phils,
and,
I think.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, local product. I tell you, the trainer's a local guy, I believe, or the owner. One of the two. Yeah.
Yep.
So he loved, I think he liked two Phils, and then the other. And two Phils went off at 7-2. Maybe 5-2, because it paid $7.34. So it's 5-2 went off, plus the $2 that you wagered on. And I watched the Louisiana Derby, and I can't give you the winner right now.
I don't know.
It was the sixth horse. I'll tell you, it was sixth horse. Todd Pletcher. It was a Todd Pletcher horse, the six, that went off at about 3-1 and ended up being the winner there. I just don't know if your guy Jim Miller gave it out.
I don't think that one. No, I don't think that was
I'm here for you, though.
Big news in the NFL today, and we'll get back to your college basketball calls here in just a second. I know people still want to chat about the tournament, and that's cool. But I do want to let everyone know that, in case you missed it somehow this morning, Lamar Jackson has officially requested a trade. He posted on Twitter, on social media, that he, about a week ago, I guess, formally requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens. We have John Harbaugh this morning. Was this from the owners' meetings, Adam? Where was Harbaugh? Is that where? Because the owners' meetings.
Yeah, so they're all sitting at their little tables with the media around them and everything. And basically, Lamar tweeted, or put up on Instagram or his tweet.
I think he tweeted it.
That it was right as Harbaugh was starting to talk.
Oh, wow. How about the timing of that? I don't know if that was intentional or not. But then, of course, Harbaugh was asked about it. Here was John Harbaugh's response to Lamar publicly stating now that, yes, he has asked the Ravens for a trade.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited. Thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football. I'm confident that's going to happen.
Do you anticipate him being your quarterback in week one?
I do. You know, you got to plan for all the contingencies for sure, but I'm pretty fired up about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player. Lamar came back in great shape last year. He's fired up to play. That's the Lamar that I'm looking forward to seeing. Can't wait to get back on the grass and go to work. And I'm confident that's going to happen.
One guy's on the North Pole, the other's on the South Pole right now. Like, that's a coach that's, no, we're building our offense around Lamar. I'm excited to be back. And Lamar's like, no, I want out. I don't know how they rectify it, but
anybody wants out. I mean, you've got to be willing to make the move to get the contract you want. Now, Baltimore has offered him the second best quarterback contract of all time.
With
the guarantees behind Deshaun Watson, better than Kyler Murray and better than Russell Wilson.
Better than Mahomes?
I don't know if Mahomes – did Mahomes just sign a new deal?
No, like 2 years ago.
Okay, well, it's –
Mahomes is probably outdated at this point.
He's got like a 10-year deal.
We're not talking about Mahomes right now.
Okay.
So we're talking about the contracts that were signed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Russell Wilson last year, Wilson and Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson. So it's not as good as Deshaun Watson because he's got the whole thing guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it's better than the other two when it comes to guaranteed money and then guaranteed money with injury. And then if he's on the roster at 2026 – then he gets the rest of that bonus and it becomes guaranteed too. So it's pretty darn good contract offer, but who do you negotiate with?
What does this do by Lamar saying this now? Nobody's giving him an offer sheet. By doing this, does he think it'll force a team that just doesn't want to write the contract for Baltimore? It'll now show a team that, okay, he is going to force his way out of there. He doesn't want to be there. Like, now let's go approach Baltimore and work out a trade. I mean, he hasn't gotten a single offer sheet. Some people think they're just waiting until after the draft because why would they want to give up a pick a month away? I don't know, but is there any benefit to Lamar doing this now, to demanding a trade?
Did they offer him an offer sheet or did he sign the offer sheet? Not the offer sheet, but the franchise tender. They can tender you something, but you've got to sign off on it.
I don't think he has signed that.
So he has not signed off on it.
No, I don't believe so.
Their intention is to give him the tender to keep him under their control.
Right.
He has not signed it, acknowledging the fact that he is going to take that one-year deal at a guaranteed price
right.
at whatever number it is.
And as far as we know, nobody's given him an offer sheet.
Right. And those then offer sheets, I think, can come then after that. So what would happen is he's trying to negotiate the deal right now before he ever signs the offer, the franchise tender. He hasn't signed the franchise tender. But once there's an agreement in place to be traded, then he'd sign the franchise tender, negotiate a brand new contract with the other team. They would agree to compensation coming back to the Baltimore Ravens.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, I want to talk about maybe potential destinations that could work if he is indeed traded. Let's go to Richard in Wilmette. What's up, Richard?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. Hey, by the way, great job Friday at the House of Blues. You guys were awesome.
Thanks, man. It was really fun.
Yeah, I just want to give a different point of view on the NCAA playoffs. You know, I'm very excited that there's the non-blue blood schools participating in the Final Four here. Those kids have really worked their tails off, and I think it's good. The games have been extremely close, been very exciting. So I think it's good to see that we got these other schools in the fray. I mean, going with the portal now, it's going to make it harder for the smaller schools to compete because guys are going to want to transfer to the bigger schools. So I'm feeling very excited that it's come down to this. Now, in terms of full disclosure, my older son just graduated from UConn, and my next son is a senior at Arizona. So I still feel that way. I'm really looking forward to the Final Four.
Thanks. Absolutely. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it. Some sort of a weird year, or is it, I don't know, did it become more of the trend?
Well, when Purdue's your number one team and your best team, then they go 5-5 in their last 10. It's just, you know, what are you going to do?
It's just a weird year.
It's a weird year.
I think that's a great way to sum it up.
It's a weird year.
I wouldn't expect this to be the norm.
And now people start trying to figure out why was it a weird year. What went about things happening that made it a weird year? How did some of these teams become stronger? How did other teams become weaker?
You know, like the Mountain West has been a punchline to so many jokes about their failures over the course of the last 20 years in the tournament. And now look at San Diego State. Is it just a weird year where they came together, they play excellent defense, they're tough, they play excellent defense, maybe got the slight benefit of a call yesterday, and here they are cutting down the nets. I mean, do we go against 25 years worth of history and say we should expect something different from teams like San Diego State or the Mountain West going forward?
No, probably, but if you look at, like, if you went in and we were looking at like Kent Pom and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were highly rated all year.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Like, if you go by metrics, like it's not that, like this Final Four isn't, it's weird, but it's not that crazy because these teams have been playing this way all season. Like,
well, like UConn and San Diego State especially. Yeah. I mean, they've been pretty highly rated all year, right?
Yes. Now, FAU...
FAU and Miami, maybe not as much.
UConn was the number one team in the country at one point, right?
The key stat has always been top 20 in offense, top 20 in adjusted defense.
That's right, yeah.
And if you got that, that's the one that was going to come out and win that.
100%.
Connecticut is the team that has that now.
Mm-hmm.
And the next 12 teams are all out of the tournament. Okay, so Connecticut right now, with all the stuff that they've done, with the games that have played, are number one ranked in KenPom because they're still in it. Houston, UCLA, Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, Purdue, Gonzaga, Kansas, Marquette, Arizona, Creighton, St. Mary, out. Mm. They're all out. Everybody's out. If you took this thing beforehand, Okay? You wouldn't have found San Diego State as high as they are right now because their last four games are in this.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right.
And the losses are in there for everybody else, too.
So that's why they moved.
So there's a major adjustment happening as, you know, things start to go out well for them. Now they find themselves all in the top 22.
Our good friend Danny in Schaumburg on ESPN 1000. Danny!
Hey, guys. Yeah, Friday was a lot of fun. A ton of people there. I'm just curious. So I'm in a bracket with 26 guys. So that's, you know, that's not like 8 or 10. You know, my mom, my uncle. And the thing's over. Like, some guy who had Houston won, a guy who had Purdue got third. I don't remember there ever going into a Final Four weekend where there's no more bracket.
Because nobody had UConn?
Nobody's left.
Nobody had nothing. Like, three guys had Texas, and then since they bounced, like, one guy got second. But I'm just wondering, like, are brackets still going on? Or, like, it, to me, this is just, like, craziness. Obviously, you guys have played this a little longer than I have. But
it's a good question.
I don't remember anything like that.
For the station one here... The small station one.
Did anybody have UConn?
So if UConn wins on Saturday, the Bleck and Abdallah bracket, courtesy of Tyler Aki, will win the tournament.
Whoa, baby. That's good for you guys.
UConn wins. That's good for Tyler. Yeah.
Danny, thanks.
We didn't do anything.
I love that. I was listening that night.
We didn't do anything.
I was listening when you guys put it together. It was funny. Yeah, I mean, I do know a few people that had UConn making the very deep run and even to the Final Four. If you had UConn, you're golden. You're feeling great. Because the rest, the chances that anybody was able to pick San Diego State, again, especially considering the Mountain West's historical failures in this tournament that probably factored into the calculus for some, FAU, Miami, probably not, although Larrañaga is back with a second team. Remember, he took George Mason there. Jim Larrañaga is back for the second time in 20 years with two different schools, so he can coach. But, yeah, you probably didn't have these types of teams. Whoever had UConn is feeling frisky and feeling good. But it is interesting. Like, are these brackets, are they so busted somebody's already won it?
If anything stays true to form, you would guess Connecticut would be the next team that goes out.
How about that? That's fine.
Yeah, if it stays true to form,
that's true.
You'd expect Connecticut not to make it at all.
It's pretty wild. 312-332-ESPN is the number. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
And a lot of people still want to talk tournament. We'll get back out to the phones here in a few. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app and on Twitch. Download the free Twitch app. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can find us there. You can join the chat there, too. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Your bracket's probably busted, but that's okay. It's still been fun. And now you got Lamar Jackson asking for a trade formally. Any good destinations top of mind? You know, like teams that might want to get in on it, Yurk? The Colts, maybe, if they don't want to worry about going back into the draft to find a quarterback. New England, potentially, is kind of an intriguing and interesting one.
He's got an incredible record as a starter.
Very good.
Incredible. The problem is he's missed a couple, five games in the last 2 years, 5-5, I believe 10 games over that course of time. But his record as a starter is impeccable. I think it's the fourth best overall.
He is 45-16 as a starter.
So tomorrow,
but to your point, he's only played 12 games in each of the last 2 years, and it's a 17-game season. Sorry, Adam.
We're spring trading tomorrow, and
yes,
Carmen, you are in with Dion.
I am
Miller
in the morning
from 7 to 10. You will talk to Albert Breer.
Yes,
at 8:35. Last week, when I was in with Cap, I asked him about this, and he said it's not going to happen until after the draft.
Even any sort of trade?
He doesn't think it will. Because think about it. If you're the Colts or if you're the Texans, why would you give up such high picks?
If
you're going to give up two first-round picks,
you wouldn't give up this year's pick.
You wouldn't give up this year's pick, so you'd wait till after the draft.
But his
philosophy is that, like, why would you, if you're the Colts, why would you give up such a high pick this year if you have to give up two first-round picks?
Do you have to? Like, if he's requested a trade, can a team approach Baltimore?
No, the compensation's the compensation.
So they can't rescind that tag and work out a different deal?
Well, it's never been signed yet either.
It has
but
not.
But that's what they've established.
That's
what
a good
the minimum
question
price
for Albert
is.
Breer tomorrow.
But
at
that's what I'm saying is, what if the Colts say
they've established a minimum price for the quarterback?
The thing is, if you're Baltimore, you want that Indy pick because it's so high.
Right. They won't do it.
And I know.
Listen, Lamar Jackson's going to play for the Baltimore Ravens.
You think so?
Yes.
But if you see a team like Houston or like the Colts that don't take a quarterback even though they need one, just watch out.
Well, then it's going to be like
because then it's one of the, probably one of them. Yeah,
that they'll be happy to give up later first round picks where they know they're going to be better with Lamar Jackson. And I still want Pittsburgh to get in on it. I know they're not going to, but that's just me selfishly because I think it'd be awesome. And Yurko thinks he's going to stay with Baltimore. Man, making me pick right now. What is today? The 27th of March. I kind of feel like Yurko's right.
He also missed a playoff game last year.
He did. Kind of feel like you're right. He probably still plays for Baltimore next year, but man, who the hell knows? I was way wrong on Rodgers. Who knows? I still don't know what's going on with that either. That's a whole other
Nothing's happened.
Nothing. How long is this going to drag out?
Has there been anything like that before where like some guys just decided, but it hasn't been worked out?
I mean, really?
Well, I mean, listen, they decided to move on from him, but they also have, you know, they can't reach an agreement on what they're going to give up and what they're going to give back.
It's sort of like they're dug in.
Right.
You know, like the Packers are sort of dug in.
This is what we want. The Jets are like, this is what we're willing to give you.
And he cannot come back now, right? Like, after that.
How do you come back after all this? After the Packers have basically said, we don't want you anymore. We don't want you.
I have the feeling now it's got to be the Packers that give.
I think.
It's got to be the Packers that have to settle for whatever compensation package they're going to get.
Do you think they'll take it into the summer or late spring?
They may.
Just to make the Jets sweat.
The Packers are the ones that got it. And the Jets don't care. I don't think they care.
I think they care a little. They want Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback.
What did Mark Murphy say?
He said, we don't want Aaron Rodgers anymore. Okay,
that's it. I mean, what are you doing?
That's why I'm surprised this isn't done. You'd think they just want to wash their hands of all this.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
At this point, the Packers got to take what you're going to get now. You can't go out and say that.
You were the one who said it. Exactly.
Then you're going to recover from that. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't care what the Green Bay Packers get back for him.
No.
That's none of his business. He doesn't care.
Your president came out and said, we don't want him. And not in so many words, but that's what he said.
Yes.
We are moving on from Aaron Rodgers. Like, what do you expect now?
You could not have made it any simpler. And now you want to demand something.
There's no going back.
You're not in a position to demand anything anymore.
And he said it at, like, halftime of a high school basketball game.
Yeah.
Like, how weird and random. Viking Scott's in Crown Point. Thank you for a couple of winners. Good seeing you on Friday.
Yes, before I quickly get into the basketball tournament, just regarding Lamar Jackson, great regular season record, exploding playoff record of 1-3.
Yeah, I think 1-3,
and
right?
And always with a really good defense, and he's one of like only three quarterbacks in NFL history to lose his first three playoff games at home.
Good point, too.
I mean, for all they're looking for compensation-wise and all that, you know, the old,
adage,
can he win the big ones?
Four career playoff games and a quarterback rating of 68.3.
Wow. Correct. So just
like 30 points lower than his regular season.
For that.
Yeah.
So let's get to the college hoops. So first of all, the San Diego State game. That call at the end of the game, based on the way the game was called, because, like, again, was it a foul by definition? Yes. But that literally was a battle royal to where somebody says, well, if it's called in the first quarter, it should be called late in the game.
Yes.
That wouldn't have been called. That wouldn't have been called at any other time during the game because they literally let the hands get on. There was no foul shots. Now, give San Diego State credit. Can you believe this stat? In the games against Alabama and Creighton, two really good three-point shooting teams, 5 of 44 they held them to.
Mm.
Those two teams. So let's get to the Texas game because the only other thing in the Creighton game, the one call where they called the flagrant foul for the hook and hold, and that was a four-point lead for Creighton. They gave the ball to San Diego State and two free throws. The San Diego State guy underneath initiated the hook and hold originally. So they go to review, and then they say, well, it was a flagrant act at the end of it. Once the original guy got the hook and hold started, to me that should just waver everything off. And that's what I'm kind of mad about in college basketball. You get to review a video, and you don't say, hey, well, look it. The San Diego State guy hook and held him first, and then at the end of it, the Creighton guy had him in a hook and hold, threw him to the ground, let's call it a flake.
Mm.
But I think the biggest travesty in yesterday's games was in the Texas game. With a minute to go, they called an over-the-back foul, and then they reversed the call. And that game was tied with a minute to go. And the only reason they called it over-the-back, the guy had him boxed out, and then the guy jumped. Well, when the guy jumped, then it looks like he rode him out, but he had him boxed out before he made the leap. So the other thing at the end, 32 free throws were shot by Miami, and they made 29.
I know. That's incredible.
24 foul shots in the second half. officials took that game over by blowing the whistle, and the other game they didn't call anything.
And they didn't call anything till the end.
Really, I just don't like when that happens. Like, once again, if you're going to call it, call all the way, like in that San Diego State game, just let that one go at the end because of that, because of the way you called it. And the end of the game, you were blowing your whistle all the time. If those same three officials would have been in that first game, they would have shot 75 free throws combined, because that first game was just one of those just half-court games where it was a battle royal, and San Diego State plays the best defense I've seen in a long time in the tournament.
Their defense is great. Scotty, thanks, buddy. Check in late in the week, too. Let us know the best angles for Final Four. It's like Yurko always says, what are you going to get out of the officials and how much are you going to test them? And then when a team that plays a certain way realizes that, hey, this is advantageous for us, good things potentially could happen. The Miami thing, what's crazy to me is, and those guys were clutch. Isaiah Wong hit a couple of big ones. Who's the other kid that went nuts? The kid, Miller, right? He hit a bunch of clutch free throws late. Like, they just made their free throws, which is great to see. Kids getting to the line, making their free throws when it matters. How often in today's game?
Yeah, Miller was 13 of 13 from the charity stripe.
Yeah, awesome. How often do you see?
Four of four.
And he hit a couple of big ones late. How often do you see in basketball, almost at any level, certainly college and above, even high school probably these days, but certainly college and above, how often do you see 8 3-point attempts? You won't see that much.
Yeah, you don't see it a lot, no.
They were 2 of 8 Miami from distance. That's it, 8 attempts. But as Scotty just pointed out, and we said they made all their free throws when it mattered late, 28 of 32 from the line. They win by 7. They withstand a Texas team that shot 50% from the floor and 40% from three. They withstand that barrage, and they win by 7. There were a lot of fouls. There were a lot of whistles, but they made their free throws when they mattered.
Did you see what the starters made? Their starters missed one free throw.
The Hurricane starting five?
The Hurricane starting five. I think they were 25 of 26.
That's pretty incredible.
They were 25 of 26, Carmen. 97% almost.
Now, you can look at that free throw discrepancy and you can wonder some things, but hey, it went Miami's favor for whatever reason yesterday. 312-332-3776 if you want to ring us up, talk tournament. Hey, getting a lot of traction on the tournament. See, people are still interested one way or another, even though it's a bizarre-looking Final Four. The Lamar Jackson stuff, baseball opening day is just a few days away. I promised this, and we didn't do it yet, so when we come back, let's just reiterate and remind everybody where we're going to be on Thursday for the Cubs home opener. We'll talk about that. 312-332-ESPN. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I still can't get over how much fun Friday was, Yurko.
Well,
7 hours at the House of Blues. Place was packed the whole time. Just lots of love for all the fans that came out and showed their love and support for all of us in this radio station, and the job done by Zetterman and everybody in our promotions department getting all that done. Maggie and her whole team, Bailey, Sonny, Travis. I mean, just like the whole crew, Joe McCardle and Danny for writing the wonderful script that Ray Clay was reading from the entire day. It was great having Ray there. Like, nonstop, it was just awesome. The support was awesome. The Twitch chat, which is always out in full force, they were there. I was talking to our buddy Carmen Carcino's wife, Tal. She went to Iowa, you know, and then she's a little sensitive. I rip Iowa a lot, and rightfully so. I think we'd all agree.
Right, I think we should.
My youngest brother went to Iowa.
Especially the offensive football minds of Iowa, you know.
And the nepotism that is alive and well in that program with Ferentz's kid.
Are you kidding me?
Driving that offense right into the ground.
Nepotism.
Yeah,
I got a story on
that. Playing football like it's 1940.
I got a story on nepotism a little bit later. We'll talk.
Okay. I mean, I give Iowa a lot of crap. It does come from a place of love. Like I said, because of my brother. I like busting his balls and all of his idiot friends that went to Iowa about the ineptitude of their athletic department. But now I'm going to give credit. And Tal was telling me, what's her name? Is it Caitlin
Clark?
Caitlin?
Yes.
Caitlin Clark.
The basketball player.
She, I, I said, okay, I promised her I was going to devote some time this weekend to watching, and I did.
Did you?
And she is awesome.
Good player.
She's not a good player. She is by far the best player I saw over the course of the weekend. I mean, she lit it up for Iowa. And she had, I saw some stat this morning, too. The performance she had yesterday was like, I think it was the only 40-point triple-double, men's or women's, ever in tournament history, I think. Like, she's ridiculous how good she is. So, Tal, there you go. Iowa Hawkeye fans, Danny upstairs, Danny Lynch, you get some
finally
props.
Something to be proud of.
You've
huh?
got something to be proud
something
of.
Something to be proud of.
That girl is fantastic. And is Iowa the favorite on the women's side? I would think. I mean, who? They've got the best player by far, it looks like. So good for Iowa. There you go. Now, what is your story of nepotism?
Nepotism!
Like the nepotism
Bill
in
Belichick.
Iowa.
You've seen this, you know, with Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan. But Kyle Shanahan's kind of taken the reins and has become kind of an offensive guru, right? I mean, yes. You would say that.
Yes, I think he is an offensive guru.
Belichick's son, Steve. His dad notified him that he was going to be the defensive backs coach a number of years ago. I don't know how many years ago. It's 5-6. He walked into the room. He had veteran defensive backfield, including one of the guys that's on NFL Football in the Morning.
Devin McCourty?
Right. He comes in. He goes, listen. He goes, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. My dad told me 2 weeks ago I was going to be the defensive back safety coach. He goes, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. He said, you guys are going to have to help me.
So Stephen Belichick actually said that?
He said that to them.
Do you think the players appreciated that, Yerk? Or?
The way McCourty said it, he said, I respected him more for coming in and telling us he didn't know what the hell he was doing. His father made him the coach. He said, I'm going to have to learn from you guys. You guys are going to have to help me.
That's awesome. I've heard players actually like really like him.
Awesome. Yeah, but that's what he did. He didn't come in and, you know, go, oh, look at me, you know, I played at Texas Southwest, Northeast, ANI, Kingsville, you know, Mexico City. You know, he didn't come in and give his credentials. That's he awesome. Told them, you guys know more than I do right now. And he goes, you guys got to help me along. That's it. So he told him the truth.
Good for him.
And they appreciated it. And he's become a better coach.
And he's become
over
a better coach for
time.
It. Now, yes. That's a good story.
But there's some nepotism.
Well, that's some nepotism, all right.
You know, family member getting a job because he's just a member of the Lucky Sperm Club. But at least he told everybody, I'm a member of the Lucky Sperm Club, and I got this job. Now, please help.
Good. Yeah. Good for him. Danny Lynch says, thank you, gentlemen. Message received. So the Iowa fans have heard us. They have heard us finally say something positive and encouraging.
My neighbors.
Yes, yes.
Dan and Jen, Iowa.
About
Iowa
the athletic monks. Department. The school itself, phenomenal. That campus is great. Lots of fun. Love it. Good times. Basketball, football, we're going to give you crap because why not? We're going to be at Old Crow Smoke
House. Old Crow Smokehouse, Carm.
I almost did it again.
Come on now.
House.
Old Crow Smokehouse. We're going to be up there.
We are.
Food's fantastic. The site is fantastic, too.
We are going to be at Old Crow for opening day. Cubs opening day baseball's opening day is Thursday. Cubs are opening at home against the Brewers. The White Sox open at night on the road in Houston against the defending champs. But we are going to be in Wrigleyville this Thursday. Come by and see us. Cap and hoodie, 7 to 10. We will come on at 10. No greenie. 10 to 2, we will broadcast live from Old Crow. If you are going to the game, please come by, say hi to us, grab a nice cold Miller Lite. We will have a good time getting ready for the opener. Even though we're there for Cubs opening day, we'll talk plenty of Sox. Jason Benetti will join us at 1 o'clock live in Houston to preview the White Sox season. And then next Monday, starting at 10, for the White Sox home opener, we will be on the south side at one of our old favorites. We haven't been in a few years because of COVID and other things. Buffalo Wings and Rings, Yurko. 35th and Halstead, just a little bit north, actually, of 35th Street on Halstead, just down the street from the ballpark. If you're going to White Sox opening day on Monday, make sure you come by and see us at Wings and Rings. Do you know who the White Sox open up with at home?
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
It's interleague. Interleague play.
Yeah, absolutely. I know who the White Sox open up with.
The Giants are in town.
San Francisco, Carm, is what I'm thinking.
Giants open in New York, then they come here. So they play back-to-back AL series to start the year. Yeah. That's kind of nice.
Tradition.
Sox Giants.
I like it.
Yes.
The tradition of baseball. Well, it's Japan's pastime baseball. You know that.
Stop it.
Why?
Smart ass.
Why? Why should I stop it?
It might be, but it's still a great sport.
Baseball
and it's still
classic.
Popular here.
I can't wait to kick off Japan's pastime. Baseball, Ray.
I mean, you can't help yourself.
I can't. I'm Rodney, taking a shot.
Rodney's in Bellwood.
The substandard American team.
On ESPN 1000. Rodney, what's up?
Hey, you guys. Yeah, what I'm kind of weird to me is that every time the media talks about a player wants to get out of a contract, I mean, gets out of a town, they say, well, he can't do it. He has to sign a contract. But yet the media never says some of the things that a player can do to actually, you know, make that a bad situation. Say if Lamar signs that contract, but yet he sits out the first 10 games, he can still come in 11 game and get credit for that whole year. And then you have, you said you can't, he can't. Everybody can, well, he's gonna be play with them. No, he doesn't. It would look really bad in an organization if you kept a player who got sick, who played like he was sick for the whole season. You know, you cannot just keep a player anymore. This is not the 1980s. But yet, you know, the media always say, oh, well, he has to play with them. No, he does not. He does all kind of things that a player can do to get out of a bad situation.
Other four major sports, I'd agree with you 100%, but not in football.
A little bit harder.
He had a contract.
It's what they could. Had a contract. Houston couldn't wait to get rid of Deshaun Watson.
No. Before then, he had already said he was leaving. Before then, you had all these teams trying to get him. So I don't understand how you can say he.
But
can't
Houston's still in charge. So what? He's not under contract right now. They franchised him, so he's under the. So he's under the tag, right?
I don't know what we're arguing about exactly.
But he's still under the tag.
I don't quite know what we're even arguing about, really.
No,
I mean,
it's okay, though. He's under the tag, even though he hasn't signed it. The minute he signs it, that contract becomes guaranteed for him, $32 million. Yes. The minute he signs it.
Yes.
So this is what he could do, Rodney, if we're going to talk about what he could legitimately
do. We do have to break, too.
I gotcha. He can go to camp. He can feign injury. And then he could say, I won't play until I'm 100%.
Yeah.
And then he can get his guaranteed money the whole time. Now, you can do that if you want to do that. I wouldn't blame a player for doing that. That's something he can do. And then affect change by saying, I want to be traded.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody came out with like some sort of super strong stance that Lamar's got to be back in Baltimore. We said if we had to guess right now, he probably would be. But I'm not sure what sparked the call to be so outraged, Rodney?
I wouldn't
want to
put myself in a position as a player where I've got $32 million guaranteed, right? If I sign it, I got $30. I'd want that money.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd want some of that money at the very least while I try to get myself out of town.
We got a break. We continue the conversation coming up. 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.